Just as a start, I should say, sometimes preaching can be a bit challenging, right? And the last time I was up here, I mentioned a few things, and one of them was being content in all circumstances, right? And we then went out to the car, and we went to drive off. And as I turned the wheel, there's this big clunking sound. And it turned out we had broken the front spring. So there was a wee challenge of being content in all circumstances. I should say it worked out beautifully because Stuart gave us a hand and then we dropped the car off, driving very gingerly down to the garage there. Andrew happened to be passing, took us home, and they fixed the car within 2 days. Hey, thank you, Lord. But yes, content in all things. So, as I say, it can be a bit challenging. So, when preparing for today, I felt God was wanting me to talk on holiness. And boy, did I think, hey, challenging, just a minute. So, here we go. If you want a title, Holy, Holy, Holy. Start off with Isaiah 6:3. And they were calling to one another, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And probably the other famous verse, Revelation 4:8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Okay, those are two sort of fairly famous verses, if you want. So, holy, what does the word mean? The simplest meaning is separate, right? According to the scholars, the Hebrew root of the word is to cut one thing away from another, to separate it out. So there is God and there is everything else, right? God and the universe, there's nothing else, right? God created the universe. He is separate from it. He's its creator. He's its sustainer. He's the purpose that the universe exists. Holy can also mean something related but slightly different. It can mean kept separate for God. Right? Sacred is probably another old term for that, or even sanctified. Think of pure, clean, unsullied, sinless. The first use of this in the Bible is about the Sabbath. Right? Genesis 2:3. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God stopped working on everything else that he had been creating. And God tells his people Israel to be holy. And by that he means to be separated from other people in the way that they live their lives. Leviticus 20:26 says, You are to be holy toward me because I, the Lord, am holy. I've separated you from among the people to be mine. And God's holiness, it isn't a negative thing. Indeed, it's incredibly positive. It's the source of joy to his people. There's section marked David's Song of Thanks, 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks to the Lord, calling on his name. Make what he has done known among the people. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, and think about all his miraculous deeds. Find joy in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who keep on seeking the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and all his strength. Always look to him. Keep remembering the awesome deeds he has done, along with his miracles and the ruling he has handed down. And in the Bible, when it talks about the temple, there's many places where it talks about holy places, holy clothes, holy vessels. How can a cup be holy? Right? It's all about, they are symbols of God's holiness. They're little reminders of the character of God. God is totally unique, never to be viewed as similar to anyone else, anything else. There's no one more special than God. One way of thinking of God's people being holy is this one. Because of what Jesus has done when he saved us, we have been set apart by God's goodness and for God's purpose. I like that. By God's goodness, for God's purpose. How do we approach God's holiness? How about this one? Psalm 24, 3. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has innocent hands and a pure heart, the person who does not delight in what is false and does not swear an oath deceitfully. And if we flip the New Testament, we're often encouraged to be holy. Romans 12, 1. I therefore urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God. For this is the reasonable way for you to worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but continually be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing, and perfect. So, we should be holy in order to be more like the holy God. Of course, that's not to say that we need to be perfect before we get to know God. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. That's why Jesus came, to give us a way of coming to God even when we are very imperfect. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his unique Son so that everyone who believes in him might not be lost, but have eternal life. Because God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. When we think about holiness, and holiness in human lives, it's Jesus that we need to look to. The holiness that God requires is reflected perfectly in the life of Jesus. And Jesus is our high priest in this. Hebrews 7:24. But because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, because he always lives to intercede for them, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him. We need such a high priest, one who is holy, innocent, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. So if we go back to the Old Testament, the term holy is used a lot when it's talking about the temple, right? And the image of the temples are an important one. And when Christians come together as church, we take on that holiness which the Old Testament talked about being in the temple. So that's the way we are to be holy. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You know that you are God's sanctuary and that God's Spirit lives in you, don't you? If anyone destroys God's sanctuary, God will destroy him, for God's sanctuary is holy and you are that sanctuary. The big thing here is that the holiness of the temple was external. It just looked good. Our holiness as Christians is all in the heart. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord greatly increase your love for each other and for all people, just as we love you. Then your hearts will be strong, blameless, and holy in the presence of God, who is our Father, when our Lord Jesus appears with all the saints. So, as God increases our love, our hearts become strong, blameless, and holy. That sounds good to me. And one wee aside here, that holiness in our hearts, it's under our control. Slightly later in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, each of you must know how to control his own body in a holy and honourable manner. So, what does this being holy mean in practice? How's about this one? Ephesians 4:24. Clothe yourself with the new nature, which was created according to God's image in righteousness and true holiness. I think this idea of putting on a new nature, a holy nature, is worth thinking about. It suggests that it's a conscious thing and it's a repeated thing, something that we decide to do time and time again. That verse I've just read from Ephesians 4 sits in a passage that's often entitled The New Life. And it's worth looking at that in a bit more detail. I would suggest in your own time, read Ephesians 4, 17 through to 32. But I've got some potted highlights from it here, right? And it's a list of things in the holy life, if you want. And it's just a set of bullet points. And they're actually quite simple. But I'm not saying they're easy, right? It says things like, let go of the old life. Strip off the old nature. It says, be made new by each revelation from God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on a new self, which is upright and holy. No more lying. Speak only truth. Don't let anger control you, even for a day. Don't give the devil a chance to twist you. Don't steal. Work hard so that you can bless others. No ugly or hateful words. One translation has a lovely phrase there. It says, let your words be beautiful gifts of encouragement. Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. Forgive one another. It's a good list. But as I say, read that one yourself. But there's one verse in there, almost at the end of it, Ephesians 4:30. And I think this is the key to just about all of it. So Ephesians 4:30, and this is from the Passion Translation. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. The Good News Bible has it as, do not make God's Holy Spirit sad. Whoa. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a holy life. When we are in step with the Holy Spirit, our lives are holy because that's his nature. So, the next time you swear at the cat or kick the dog, are you making the Holy Spirit sad? The more closely we are led by the Holy Spirit, the more closely we allow the Holy Spirit to control our actions, the more holy our lives are. Romans 1 verse 4 talks about Jesus' resurrection being a display of triumphant power supplied by the Spirit of holiness. Sometimes just changing the order of words round can really bring home their meaning. Thinking of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of holiness can help to inspire us to believe that we can live a holy life, because it's the Spirit of holiness who leads us. The Holy Spirit provides the power which allows us to live a life like Jesus. Jesus is the gold standard of living a holy life as a human being. It's when we are led and empowered by the Holy Spirit that we can get close to that gold standard. So, quite often when we think of the word holiness, we think of not doing things, right? Let me be radical here and suggest that's wrong. Or at least it's not the most helpful, right? It puts the cart before the horse. Abstinence, the avoiding of doing bad things, might be part of holiness, but I'd suggest that the Bible picture of holiness is different. Rather than having a life of not sinning, Jesus had a life of actively blessing people. Holiness is not just avoiding sin, it's a life fully engaged with God, which is overflowing with God's goodness. So, when you think of someone holy, don't think of some medieval monk with a scratchy, rough robe on who goes around denying himself every good thing. Think of Jesus. He went round with a bunch of young men who he had saved. He had turned their lives round so much that they turned the world upside down. Jesus was so full of life and so full of God's goodness that he let it flow out from him to the folk around him. Yes, Jesus wept when he thought of the suffering of his people, but let's not think of Jesus as a sourpuss. I imagine Jesus as being so full of life and joy and peace. When we look at Jesus, we realize that holy certainly doesn't mean boring. Hebrews 12 talks about God disciplining us because he wants us to share in his holiness. But it doesn't really sound like an easy thing. Indeed, it comes in a passage entitled, "Do not grow weary." And it says things like, "Lift up your tired hands and strengthen your trembling knees. Keep walking on straight paths. Try to be at peace with everyone. Try to live a holy life, because no one will see the Lord without it." So, one image of this holy life is putting off old clothes and putting on new clothes. Beautiful, shining new clothes. But there's a different image to play with as well. And that's the idea of planting and reaping the new life. So, imagine a piece of ground, a hillside somewhere, all covered in thorn bushes and briars. Sure, we can rip up those nasty weeds. But unless we plant something far more pleasant, the weeds will come back. So we need to plant fir trees and fragrant myrtle bushes. So as God allows us to leave behind the old life with its negative habits and reactions, let's aim to put on a new life of holiness. Following the Holy Spirit at every turn. So Galatians 6:8, Good News Bible. If you plant in the field of your natural desires, from it you will gather the harvest of death. If you plant in the field of the Spirit, from the Spirit you will gather the harvest of eternal life. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong to our family in the faith. So again, we've got this image of taking action, deliberately doing something that encourages and develops holiness in our lives. Following the promptings of the Holy Spirit is a bit like putting on clothes, or sowing seeds, or planting a myrtle bush. I don't actually know what myrtle is. So, it needs us to do something, right? Holiness requires us to do something. And what that something is will vary from day to day, from situation to situation, from person to person. For me, it might be biting my tongue when I'm going to criticize somebody. It might be asking, what can I do to help? It might be offering to pray for somebody. It might be giving somebody a lift or whatever. But what it is always listening to that still small voice, listening to what God's saying. It's asking the Holy Spirit to inspire and lead me in every situation. Holiness comes from following the Holy Spirit. Oops. Preparation. There you go. It takes some preparation to be holy in our day-to-day lives. There's a section entitled Called to be Holy in 1 Peter. And here it's from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 1:13. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For Scripture says, "You are to be holy because I am holy." Since you call on him as your heavenly Father, the impartial judge who judges according to each other's works, live each day with holy awe and reverence throughout your time on earth. I love that bit at the end where it says, live each day with holy awe and reverence. We used to know somebody who, whenever he heard anything about what God had done, he had a one-word reply, and that was, awesome! Awe is an important one. But yeah, that's an aside. Yeah. So, and that last bit, the New International Version has it as, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. So fear, awe, they're almost the same thing. But live out your life as foreigners here. The idea is that we can be separate from the world because we are aliens, right? Because God is our Father, we've got a different inheritance. So our perspective in life is different to our non-Christian neighbours. Because we are sons and daughters of God, the world doesn't matter so much. And that's what biblical holiness is, separated. And if we look at the start of that section I just read, we see it takes preparation. It says, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Although, if you look at the old King James Version, the Authorized Version, it's got quite a phrase in there. Rather than prepare your hearts and minds for action, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. If you imagine, if you lived all your life walking around in big flowing robes, right, which was probably the fashion in Jesus' day, right? No, flowing robes. If you've got a job to do, then all that material gets in the way, right? So what you have to do is tuck it in, get it out the way, right? And that's what we've got to do with our minds. Get the stuff that gets in the way, get it out the way. Tuck it in your breeks or whatever, right? And that's the image to think of, right? Matthew Henry says, gird them, gather them in. Let them not hang loose and neglected about you. Restrain their extravagances. Disengage yourself from all that would hinder you and go on resolutely in your obedience. So the things that get in the way, tuck them out the way. I've only seen a wee bit of the tennis over the last couple of weeks. But have you thought about just how much each of these players has their routines, preparing for each match, preparing during each break, and so on. No, it's the water, it's the juice, it's the tubes or whatever. It's the racket, it's the sweatband, all of that. And that's the idea behind that, gird up your loins. Preparation. Get yourself in the right place. So, question. What preparation do you have to do in your mind to be holy? Are there things in your mind, in your heart, in your life that trip you up when you want to pursue God? Is it habits? Is it particular friends? Is it interests, hobbies? Do you need to tuck them out the way? Are there things that dominate your thoughts, giving no room for holiness of thought? Is it worries? Is it obsessions? Is it favourite sins? Things that you know are not healthy, but are hard to get rid of. Holiness requires us to prepare, and God is well able to help us in that preparation. God doesn't just command us to be holy. He empowers us to be holy. So giving that extra few seconds talking to the Holy Spirit before we're about to do anything, it can nudge us in the direction of holiness. Do you want me to do this? Is a great question to ask the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't take long. Some folk talk about having a check in their spirit when they're about to do something, and it stops them doing it. I prefer to think of it as sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And that thing on sensitivity to the Holy Spirit really is quite key here. If we can get better at listening to God's voice, knowing God's heart, our lives can turn around. Sure, in some cases, the question of holiness is simple, right? There are so many things that we obviously should not do, and so many things that we obviously should do. No stealing, no lying, lots of praying, praising, thanking God, reading the word. Those are simple, right? Clear cut, black and white. I think that God wants us to take one step further. I do hope that you're not stealing, lying, and that prayer, praise, thanking God, reading your Bible are parts of your lives. So what about the other areas that you and I could be more holy in, more concentrated on God? Let's ask Holy Spirit to point out the things that he wants to change about our lives. If we want to know God better, live a more godly life, then I reckon there are things that we could improve. Maybe I'm just talking to myself here. I don't think so. Let's not sit back and congratulate ourselves that my life is holy because I no longer nick polo mints out of the corner shop. Let's ask Holy Spirit for something which we should put down in our lives and something we should take up to replace it. Not just stop doing something unholy, but start doing something holy in that time, with that money, with the effort. And God might just point out things that are not wrong. They're just not the best for you. 1 Corinthians 6:12, Passion Translation says, "It's true that our freedom allows us to do anything, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. I'm free to do as I choose, but I choose never to be enslaved by anything." So, how's about this for an objective this week? Try praying something like, "What do you want to change about me this week? In my habits, in my preferences, in my activities, in my reactions to things?" And give God the right to put his finger on something. Probably just one thing. I wouldn't say you need a big list, right? For this week, ask God just to point out something that he would like you either to do or to stop doing. It could be either. And If God points that out, expect him to point it out. When he points it out, stop it or start it. And see how God can change that thing about your life. Because God is able to change things in your life with your cooperation. There's a wee phrase, when God requires, he also empowers. Right? When God requires, he also empowers. And that phrase sprang to my mind when I was preparing this. And so I Googled it to see who had said it. And it might have been me because it wasn't in Google. So that may be a famous phrase that I've just made up, right? But there is truth in it. Right? When God requires, he also empowers. Now, here's something that's new me, right? Galatians 5:16 is a simple little verse which really has power in it. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's holiness in action. Following God, the Holy Spirit. Finally, God is holy. He's separate from sin. He's separate from everything he created. But in Jesus, God provided a bridge for us to cross to get to him. He wants us to get to know and love Jesus. And in that, he wants us to have our lives renewed. To be born again. And when we do so, God gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live a life like Jesus, a holy life, which reflects God's holiness. That holiness results in us seeing things differently. We begin to see things the way Jesus saw them. This holy life means we can change our lives. We can put on a new life. This holy life is full of God's character, powered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. It's engaged in all sorts of wonderful, positive interactions with people around us. Our new holy life is one where the things of Jesus shine through us. And if living this holy life sounds like hard work, in some ways it is, but because of our changed perspective, it's worth it. As this concluding couple of verses says, 2 Corinthians 4:16. For this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. So, thank you. While the worship team get back up together, let's just take a minute to pray. So, Father God, we do just lay our lives before you, knowing that we can trust you. And Lord, yes, we do ask you to put your finger on things. Lord, make suggestions to us. Give us opportunities this week to change something. It may be a tiny thing, it may be a big thing. But Lord, we want to be that bit more holy, that bit more focused on you, that bit more separate from the ways of the world through this week. So Lord, lead us, help us, inspire us and empower us to be holy because you are holy. Amen. Amen. Amen.